We're holding here in the Inyan of Gasi Ruach. So there's a whole series of Chazal over here. And let's see the Chazals together here, and then we'll try to look at the morale and so on. I'm reading from Ein Yaakov, which means that God is a lump together. In Ein Yaakov, it's Ches, Simen Ches. In other words, he lumps it together sort of as groupings. As Har Legase Ruach Minayin. It's Daf Hey Amr Aleph in the Gemara. How do we know, where is there a lav for Gase Ruach? Omer Rabba Mazir Mehocha, Shimu Vazinu Altag Behu. Reb Nachman Yitzchak Mehocha, V'Rom Levof V'Shachachta, Uksiv V'Shamlecha Pentishkach. So this is something that's a little bit difficult just to work out this Gemara. The usual term of Azhara, that's the straightforward technical term Azhara, is whenever you have a lav that you're potentially going to give Malkus for, you have an Azhara on it that you're not allowed to do it. And then you have Malkus on the Lav Shaboy, and that's sort of norm. There certainly is no Malkus for being a Balgaiva, or else we'd never get out of the... we'd never get ourselves together. It's Lav Shem B'Maisa, it's Lav Shem B'Lev. There's nothing. There's nothing here that you could possibly give Malkus on. This Isser, is it a regular Lav? I mean, is it more Divrei Agadata? That it's something that's inappropriate. All of these things, kina and gaiva, and all of these things, it's very hard to get a feel for it. Rabbi Yonah sits and lists them as isurim and so on and so forth. It's clear that it's wrong, but it's really hard to give a sense of what level it is on a practical halachic level. Is it something that if you're going to do something and you can be balgaiva, do we have that problem or not? I don't know. It's not something that's very easy to mashoyas over here. It says many isura kama mifresh kama across. If you want to know what's wrong, there's many places. If it's malchus, you don't have. So he says that there's differences mitzadine shemayim if it's just gehenim or it's an actual punishment in this world. Okay. Dorash of Aviras Zimn Omnish Rav Ami Zimn Omnish Rav Asi Kol Omnish Begasas Ruach Lesof Mismayit. Anyone who has Begasas Ruach, in the end, he will become deflated. Shenema Ruma Me'at Beshema Toima Yeshna Ba'olam. And maybe you'll think, okay, you sort of lose a bit of steam, but you still are around. Talmud loyma ve'einenu. Vim choza boy nesaf bizmani. Shenema v'humchu kechol yikfutsun. Ke avrom yitzik v'yakad v'sivu ba'koil mi'koil koil. If they back down and they become balei anova again, then they once again are zocha to live, and also dashes of positive kechol and so on. Also requires some sort of havana. I mean, why doesn't tshuva work? What's the difference? Vimlav ukeroish shiboilas yimolu. If not, they will disintegrate, dry out like the head of a stalk. My ukeroish shiboilas yimolu. Unches techanama kisasa de shibalto. There is a sort of little fine hairs that emanate from the top of a shibboleth, and those are things that are really, really extremely short lasting. This is like it's very, very fine and thin, and extremely short lived. It just dries out and goes out. It's very ephemeral. The Rav Chista Mechalik Sashas V'Chadam Kishibol Ta'atzma, it's a stalk itself, which does have it's a little bit more substantial. Be'esh L'manik Sashas V'Chadam Kishibol Ta'atzma, so the word Kuroish makes sense. L'manik Kishibol Ta'atzma Kuroish Shibol Ta'atzma, So he has a little bit of a different mashal. Sun goes into a field, the person picks off the higher stalks. So just like in fruit, there's the klal about the low-lying fruit that gets picked. In stalks, it's the tall stalk that gets picked first, because it's the easiest for you to reach out. So that's the Rosh Hashanah means if you stick out too much, you are going to be picked off. Then it says Ves Dake Ushval Ruach. It says a Kadosh Baruch Hu associates with the Daka, he lifts up the repressed person until he's with him. One said, I lift up the Daka until he lands by me, and one is that he says, I will lift myself up to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left all the tall mountains, and he went to Har Sinai, which was a very low mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu let all tall and good and nice things be, and he dafka dwelled with the humble and the low and so on and so forth. That is the Gemara. So you have a lot of Chazal about the Maila of being a Shval Ruach and the problem of being a Gas Ruach. There's more to come, but this is a complete unit. Let's take a look at the morale over here. The morale is Sefer Mismait, that anyone who is haughty will fall down. Kadosh Baruch Hu will cut him to size, so to speak. Kvayzbaya shekol tesefes v'yitur hu chisarin v'kinotal dami. Anyone, any excess is actually a chisarin. Ulekach ama shebeseifu mismayet. V'ama yochol yeshna ba'olam v'chulu. V'chol zeb neshagayvu tosefes v'tosefes l'miyutu chisarin gami ha'shem etzias klal. So the downfall of the haughty one is not a punishment, so to speak, but it's a reflection of a real mitzias. In other words, if a person pushes himself to prominence that is not deserved, then at some point it'll be realized that it's empty. And he will be as naught. It's almost ke'ilu. It's within the very in the very deed that he's doing is his downfall. Ki Avram pirish sha'av sha'gayvi tosefes v'chol dvar tosefes u'dov sheinu mamish shei tosefes u'vein lo kiyum v'amar shem choizu b'nesav bizmanei klo m'sheish lo kiyum. What this point is. Just like everything, every being in this world exists in two dimensions, a spatial dimension and a time dimension. So if the person is just like physically, if you think that if something it becomes bigger than it is and it occupies more space than it has substance, that will disintegrate because there is no substance. In other words, this amount of substance, if it covers an inch by an inch, there's enough material there that it could stay. If it tries to stretch itself onto a foot over a foot, it will disappear, disintegrate. The same thing is true in terms of time. In other words, if this person has made himself much bigger, then 120 years of this person is not something that is worthy of existence, and therefore we're going to bring it down to a much smaller metzias. Both of these, the reduction in how much space you take up, so to speak, and a reduction in the time that you have, are both his ma'atus of a person and so on. Okay, sasa reshebelta. Pirish. She'ein dov amamish besash shebelta. Those thin hairs that stick out are really of no substance. V'noach lipol she'ein ha'sha'ech ala pri. V'kachu bal gaiva ein mamish bedova shutei sefes v'shemanu kach noach lipol bal gaiva. Olmanda mekoreish shebelis mamish. So this is also a sort of a problem that a person has visited on himself. Midas Hadin takes you at your word. So you are claiming that you are of ex chashivas. So Midas Adin, when it's a klolistic apparatus chas shalom, strikes at the biggest first. And if you have catapulted yourself, at least in your own eyes, to prominence, you suffer the consequence of that. This is very famous that in Kelm, on in Yom Neroyim, the Hanhola did not get aliyas. Reb Leiz Yudlin Nemir also did not take an aliyah in Yom Neroyim because they wanted this hanhaga b'toch amenech yeshevus not to stand out. Reb Leiz Yudlin, what he used to do was, on the one hand, he didn't want to stand out like the Alter Kelm. On the other hand, it says in Halacha he's supposed to get an aliyah during those days, so he would take it Shabbos Shuvah by Mincha. That's when he would get the aliyah. So it's during Aseres Mitzvah, but it's not standing out as the, you know, as the chasho person, and so on. So that's this hanhaga. I once heard a fascinating point from Reb Chaim Moshe Gudzhansky. Reb Chaim Moshe was the God Lador. Chaim Moshe was also an extraordinarily keen observer of human nature. He also had a very, very sharp sense of humor that he sometimes used. And he was also an extraordinary Balmidas. He was an extraordinary person. But there was once a certain Rav that I guess was trying to push himself to prominence. And Reb Chaim Moshe sort of kept a check, did not allow him to become excessively prominent. And people asked Reb Chaim Moshe, like they figured out that that's the point of it. You know, okay, listen, this person might be a little bit uppity, but okay, you know, different people have different middles. And so Reb Chaim Moshe said, this person, if the government were to announce, if the Tsar was to announce that they're upset with the Jews and they want the most chashev Jew to step forth, they want them to punish him with 100 lashes publicly, he would step forth and take those lashes. In other words, this person is so sold on himself. It's one thing when a person likes honorifics and you know, and the, you know, people should say nice things about him. So that's within the range of, I guess, normal covet and workable. He said this person, you know, would step forth as the one to take him, because it's to him it's obvious that he's, you know, he's the God Lador, kind of. Okay. So one point is that he's Megadol himself, and the Midas Adin gives a person back exactly what he himself made himself. Then he says something else. So this goes flows along with this point that I spoke about Rosh Hashanah, but it's sharper. Reb Chaim Shlevitz would say he had a shmooze about lechem abirim mochal ish. Reb Chaim was very against, despite the fact that Reb Chaim Shlevitz himself was an extraordinary personality. In other words, as a masmid in yeshiva, his hours and his schedule and everything he did was really just the way out. But as a hanhoga for tzibur, he was very, he had great suspicion and fears for anybody that had such hanhogas, and he would speak about it every so often. He would feel there are people trying to be just kind of out of the box, extraordinary, unusual, and he had a whole shmuz. Lechem abirim ochal ish. It says that Yeshua, because he wasn't around Kal Yisrael, he was busy with Moshe Rabbeinu. He had to have a special schus to eat the man, and Reb Chaim would say he was greater than Kal Yisrael. He was greater than everybody else. But if you eat together with everybody else, you get served with everybody else. If you stand alone, you need schusim of your own. The klal has certain schusim, and Reb Chaim would bring this as an example, I guess, or he would use. He said during the Holocaust, there were people. The Mir Yeshiva was saved. The people who stuck it out with the Mir Yeshiva were saved. The people who had their own means of getting out, they did not survive. All did not survive, and that's the way he described it. They were depending on their own schosim. I mean, depending on schosim, it's a very, very, very high bar. Klal Yisrael, you eat with everybody else. So you know, when you're part of the tzibur, you're part of the tzibur. But if you're separate, they have to be done your schus. There's no haftocha to any yochid in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a klal has haftocha, so you go along with it and you get shoot in. Reb Chatzkel used to use this type of marshal for something else. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein used to be very for people making aliyah and so on. And he said that they asked him why. I mean, if a person will live in Chutz Laretz and will be a big tzaddik, a good person, why is it so important for him to make aliyah? So Chaskel hated America with a passion. He felt that it was an oxymoron to say something could be tzaddik in America. It was very, but he used a mashal, explaining it a little bit differently. He said, when there's a kiddush in a shul, a simcha, so at the end of davening, the gabbai gives a clap on the table and he says, the bala simcha invites everybody down for kiddush downstairs. People who daven in other shuls, if they're friends, neighbors, or whatever it is, you send somebody and say you're invited to come here for kiddush. So, if you're in the same shul, you're just part of the tzibur and you're invited to kiddush, even if you don't know the guy from Adam. If you're somewhere else, you need to be called specially. So he said, when Mashiach Mitzvah comes, Eretz Yisrael is hometown, so everybody's invited to the simcha. If you're from far away, you need a special invitation. That depends on whether you deserve it or not. But his point is, this is kind of just an analogous point. But his point is being mavdil yourself from a tzibur. And this is why there was a reluctance bechlal, hanhagis. Reb Chaim Shlevitz felt it was more than just, you know, chasron for good things, bad things. There's a certain se'at tishmai for a tzibur. If you see yourself as part of the tzibur, you act as part of the tzibur, then fine, that gets included. The minute you start looking for ways out, the minute you're different, the minute you place yourself in a different place, you act differently, it already starts depending on all sorts of personal schosim, and that's not something you want to bank on. Okay, the next Gemara the Maral says, "Kimandom ani esdako." So there's a machlokes whether you learn it from the pasuk ani esdako or osidako. Kimandom ani esdako piyash machlokes zechacham. Kimandom osidako akadosh baruch hu meroyim mishu daka. In other words, Akadosh Baruch Hu iti daka. I'm sorry, the words iti daka. Akadosh Baruch Hu says, "I want the humble man sitting with me." Ki royeh shiyah hadaka im Akadosh Baruch Hu. The humble man is worthy of being with Hashem. Vezeh shekeshem shagayva shunoy talmid chomris kacha nove mail nivdelas. Just like gaiva is something that is chomris, like we explained last time. Kimoy shahoy le moysha nove. Ulefikach royu. Yes. Yeah.
It says Hashem. What the chaos? There's a lashon gaiva by Hashem, right?
Yes. Hashem Malach, yes, we will actually see it later a little bit. That it, one of the problems of a person being mizgoya is using it. Is using a midah that shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see later. When we get to it, Mishem. But yes, and
I'm just saying, is a stira that if it's a midah which is shayach to the Geshem, how's it shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah.
So, correct. So for us, gaiva is what we call gaiva is the emotion we call gaiva expresses itself in Geshem. Like we said, a person emotionally becomes full of himself. Akadosh Baruch Hu is gaiva. When we use gaiva, Akadosh Baruch Hu means Akadosh Baruch Hu indeed fills the world. Akadosh Baruch Hu, the midah of Hashem Malach Geus Lavish, is the midah where he goes out and encompasses the world. It's a midah of Akadosh Baruch Hu sort of coming out and presenting his true self. For us, the midah of gaiva is. We're trying to express it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mizgoy, it means his Midas Malchus overwhelms the world. Like Nishira and so on. But we'll talk about it later, Mitzvah, a bit later. It is a very important complementary piece, so to speak. V'kach ha'novu hu mail nevdelis, k'moysha l'moysha novu. U'lefikach roishi is ala ba'ala novu, Hashem Yitzvah Yem Hashem Yitzvah. Uleman deoma ani estako, rotzoloima kashem isbar shchinase ala shehu daka v'shafel. That the Akash Baruch comes down in the daka v'shafel. V'zeo ramzu chacham b'medrish, b'meshomer ikash shchinase v'tachtoinim hoisa. V'kach Hashem isbar masha shchinase ala shehim nemuchim v'shehim pshutim. U'bedav v'zeo rachna moed v'chivu as Hashem asoifo and so on. So it becomes a makom rashos hashchina down the matter. The reason, the logic, so to speak, is because any time something is anivistic, any time something has lowered themselves, they've also made themselves into a kli kibul. But almost by definition. Something that's lower has more makom to be mekabel. Something that says, so if you have a cup, if the inside is low, it's mekabel lat. The higher the inside, the bottom of it is, the more it sticks up into the kois. Like some of the modern packaging, where you get a nice looking bottle, then you realize the bottom is sort of halfway up, so you're getting a half a bottle. That's where there's a makom of a shas hashchina, and that's where and that's Akadosh Baruch Hu shayre. Lothikach mash hashchinas v'tachtoinim. So the tachtoinim is somebody. So tachtoinim is its tzura of shleimus is a kli kibul. So just like you have l'mashal ishak shayreis of tzayin baila. The makabel's job is to be makabel, and therefore he is a humbling yourself turns you into a kli kibul, as opposed so just like if somebody wants to be a talmid and he says he knows it all, there's not going to be any talmid over there because what am I coming to pick up? There's nothing. I'm not looking for any hashpah. I'm not looking for anything in, and b'meila I am not being makabel anything. So the second mandiyama is talking about being a kli kibul for mekabel. And then he says in parentheses, So he says over here that in the first Madrega, which seems higher, where he's bringing him up, it's not such a natural, it's not such a deep chibur. I want to explain this a little bit. There are two types of chiburim that a person has. One is, l'moshel, ish v'isha. So because in many bechinas, the isha is a mekabel, and the ish is the noisin, so the ish, it's a complete chibur, because what one is missing, the other one is supplying. So that's a shlemus of a chibur. Whereas a peer, let's say a man to a man, so I could be very close, but it doesn't have that shlemus of chibur, because we're not complementing each other. We're very similar to each other. That's a friendship, but we're not complementing each other. Let's go, it's a relationship, a Rav to a Talmud type relationship, because the Talmud is being mekabel the Torah of the Rav, there's a very, very strong keshen chibur. There's also a collegial chibur, somebody who is like me in my darga, and so there's definitely a very strong affinity, but it's not the oimek hakesha of a Rav Talmud, so it's interesting. So when I have a chavusa who's my equal, then I can say that it's somebody who is, you know, we're equal to each other, we're similar, we're close to each other, but we don't have the oimek of that kesher. Masha ein kein, when we have a kesher of somebody who needs everything I have to give, and everything I have to give finds expression there, there's a very deep type of kesher. So that's a very interesting, the Maral actually speaks about it, as he asks it as a closet, as a hakir, I guess, let's use that language, you know, do birds of a feather flock together or opposites attract? Like, you know, if, you know, we know birds of a feather flock together, on the other hand, it's a man and a woman, dafka, that nis nisuin. So his point is, the norm is birds of a feather flock together, but where the two are mashlim each other. So the mashal, if I'm a very musical person, I will tend to associate with very musical people. I will not associate with academic people. But with as a chibur, the mashal, I have a business, and I'm extremely good at making the product, but horrible at marketing it. And someone else is phenomenal at marketing it, but has clueless about the product made. We're going to stick it out together because we desperately need each other for the business. It's the business dies the minute any one of us walks away from it. There's another very interesting, there's a word from the Maggid, Mishrisa Maggid, that he uses this Gemara in a very picturesque way. He said, he gives a little bit of a different twist interpretation. He said, a person can become close, the anav comes close in one of two ways. One is where I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. If I truly appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, then that experience humbles me. So if I come in contact with an Adam Gadol, and as I watch and interact with him, I feel very, very humble indeed. Or if I am a humble person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Masha Shechina. And I guess if you want to interpret it in society, if I'm not full of myself, and I am, you know, and I'm looking around, then I will be able to see things that are big and great and so on. So long as I'm busy with myself, I'll never appreciate God. That's because I'm blind. I'm my eyes are focused inwards. So he said, those are the two Lashonis the Gemara, and the Maggid said that's the difference between the Noam HaLamelech, Reb Melech, and Reb Zisha. They were two brothers, and both of them were very humble people. Both of them were very infatuated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of them were tremendous of the Hashem. But he said that one of them is humble because he walks with God. One of them walks with God because he's humble. I don't remember which one is which, and it doesn't make much of a difference to me, at least. But the idea, any one of the two can cause the other. It's automatic. If I'm marich HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless, then I can. If I'm marich HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless, then I will make myself. Then I become humble automatically, because I recognize I'm a nobody. If I recognize I'm nothing, it opens my eyes to look around. So what does exist in the world? I'm not blinded by my own self. So together, it's where a person is. So both of them work. Either one will cause the other one. The question is just which one is the starting point. Okay, I'm going to have to hold it here a bit, and at the next. So next week I can't do it Thursday. The yeshiva is going away. I could do it Wednesday probably, if that's something that you're interested in. And what?
Wednesday's good.
Yep. Wednesday's good?
Wednesday's good.
Wednesday's good. Okay.
So next Wednesday is fine. The Wednesday afterwards is not going to be good. Okay, we'll work it week by week now. It's going to be a bit dicey. There's going to be a bunch of different sakers, but if Wednesday or Thursday work, it makes it a lot easier for me. So, okay.
Great. Great. Thanks,
Jeff. Good Shabbos. Take care. Bye.